ESPN 105.1 The Zone. Former University of Georgia head football coach and College Football Hall of Fame inductee, Jim Donnan, joins Press Row.
Joshua Dobbs got to go down as one of the best quarterbacks in the history of Tennessee football. Any way you look at it, I mean, they gave that life award to the team and all. They need to give him the Cecil B. DeMille Award for Lifetime Achievement up there. He's unbelievable. I mean, Butch Jones got to at least buy him a car when he leaves.
and if we had our choice, we'd get him a Kia.
Hey, for sure. No question. That's the only kind you got to get.
Coach Donnan's weekly appearance on Press Row is powered by Kia of Chattanooga. Visit KiaofChattanooga.com to browse new and certified pre-owned Kia inventory. Here's David Pascal, Jay Greason, and Jim Donnan.
Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. As we welcome in the College Football Hall of Fame coach, Jim Donnan, for our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. Coach, how are you today?
Doing great. Ready to rock and roll here. Let's see what we got.
All right. Well, let's start with the game that took place in Athens. Georgia up 27-14. Things look like they're in pretty good shape. And then kaboom, Georgia Tech scores a couple of touchdowns and gets out of there with a 28-27 win. And gosh, just hearing from Georgia folks this week, it feels like the last 10 or 12 minutes of that game wronged a lot of the rights that were happening for Georgia's program in November.
Well, it certainly hurt because you won three straight games and really had a lot of momentum going, but it's not going to be the end of the world from the standpoint of, you know, recruiting's going extremely well. They just knocked down two more guys today, that Holloman kid, great receiver, and Herring, a tremendous linebacker, and you know, the recruiting is going extremely well, third in the nation right now, and that's going to really catapult them up to next year's team. I think a lot of these guys can come in and help. But the realism is that two of our biggest problems all year have been inability to score in the red zone. We're like 100th in the nation in that. And then red zone defense, 37 out of 39 attempts this year, either field goals or touchdowns. We're next to last in that. So if you can't score and you can't stop people in the red zone, then that's going to relate to a 7-5 record, and that's exactly where we are. You got to give Tech a lot of credit for holding in there. I thought we did a terrific job second, third quarter of keeping them off the field with our offense and stopping them on defense. But then they went to the play-action pass, and we looked like we didn't think they would throw it, and they really hurt us with it.
You know, when you played at NC State, it seemed like every bowl game was a huge game. And when you coached at Georgia, you know, it seemed like bowl games were big sometimes and they weren't big. Now it seems like everybody's just like, I don't know. I don't know where we want to go, whether it's Liberty, Jacksonville, whatever. How much can a bowl win? Because you won four of them. How many at Georgia? You won four in a row. Can a bowl game at Georgia take the sting out of a loss to Georgia Tech, or does anything erase a loss of Georgia Tech in the offseason?
Well, it's going to be hard because all your friends that are Tech fans, and I mean, they make a big deal out of it, probably a little big better deal of it than we do because we've been beating them so much. But I just think the bottom line for us is we need a springboard going into the final couple weeks of recruiting, and you know, we also need the practice time with so many of these younger players that we didn't play this year. 15 practices really are huge going into the fall, so I think fall camp before spring practice, I just think overall that people don't give enough credit to bowl games. I think I'm gonna get on my high horse a little bit here. I think the fact that you're a young man, regardless of whether you're, you know, a Power Five team or another conference, you got a chance to go to a different part of the country, be involved with the community that really is glad to have you, get involved with, you know, the hospitals, the children's clubs there, the boys and girls clubs, the community service part of it. And it makes you proud to be on a team and be involved. So everybody's talking about too many bowls. They just need to go do something else and gripe about the economy or something, because I think these bowls are good for kids.
All right, of course, it was tough for a couple of fan bases here in the Chattanooga area that Georgia loses early in the day. Of course, at night, it looks like Tennessee has things going for it early. They get up 34-24 early in the third, and then Vandy closes the game on a 21-0 run to stun the Vols, and a team that obviously began with wins over Florida and Georgia close with losses to South Carolina and Vanderbilt. And, Coach, I don't know if you saw the stat. Tennessee gave up 1.13 miles in their last three games against Missouri, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. To your best guess, what happened? I know they had injuries. What happened to that defense?
Yeah, I just think overall, I mean, you just kind of stuck a fork in them there after, you know, they knew they couldn't go to the championship game. It looked like, I mean, basically it could have, but if some things broke up. But, you know, once Florida won against against LSU, I just think it, you know, kind of lost a little stinger there. And, you know, you just can't keep outscoring people. You know, you just can't count on your offense scoring that many points to outscore everybody you play. And, you know, any way you look at it, you know, I like Jones, and I think he's done a really good job recruiting. You know, he's had some staff situations there. I don't know what the deal is. But the bottom line, you got 18 starters back and the best quarterback in the East with that by far, and you don't win it this year. I don't know when they're going to win it. I really don't. I don't think Georgia's going to go backwards from here. I think they're going forward. Looks like Florida's really recruiting well. And, you know, they did beat Florida, but that's their big signature win. So, this bowl game is going to be hard to get these kids up. They've really played well in the bowls the last 2 years because they had a lot of momentum. But right now, they're on the wrong side of that momentum. And I got to give Vandy credit. I mean, they got two huge wins beating both Georgia and Tennessee. You know, nobody would have thought that when the season started. And they really played Auburn well, too. And then they got that win over Ole Miss. So, but right now, it's the Nick Saban show, and everybody else is on cable TV.
Let me ask you one follow-up about Tennessee real quick before I pass it to Jay. If you are a Tennessee fan in the Chattanooga listening audience, and there are a bunch of them, and you've gone 8-4 in a year that you were picked to win the East, Butch Jones, we all know he's improved that record just about every year, hit a snag this year because they may not match 9-4. We'll have to see what the bowl outcome is. How do you keep the Vol fans optimistic? Because a lot of them are just like, well, we should keep Butch Jones, but things won't be any better this time next year.
Yeah, I don't think at this point, based on their history of not doing very well of holding on to coaches, you know, with the situation with Kiffin then Dooley, I think they got to keep some solidarity there, particularly with the fact they got a new president coming in, new AD coming in. I just don't think it's time to start hanging out the coach because you know, he can go get players, and he's proven that, and that's what you got to do in this league. You got to get good guys, and let's face it, I mean, the league's up for grabs, particularly in the East, and we'll see what happens. But the one thing that we saw, both you and Jay, you know, we talked about it last week, if all of a sudden the East's winning these games against the West and catching up with them. So we'll just have to see how things play out. But I think always wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't have enough patience. So I think that's what Tennessee needs right now, a little patience with Jones.
We see what you did there, Coach. You're listening to Jim Donnan here on Press Row in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga.
Coach, you touched on it being the Nick Saban show and everybody else is on like a really bad cable channel, really. How big of a testament of that is the fact that they beat Auburn by 18 in a rivalry game? Auburn likely is going to the Sugar Bowl, and that game could not have been any closer than it was at 18 points.
Yeah, I think first half it looked like, I don't know what Lane Kiffin was trying to do, but, you know, it's obvious he's trying to get a job with all these things he's running. But I think Nick put the hammer on him at halftime and said, look, let's get the running game going, and that's what they did. They're saying the adjustments were what made the difference, that they were just setting them up and all that. I don't really know about that. But I do know this, that the Alabama program was a great example of benefiting from people coming back this year. They had
good
six
point.
Guys that could have gone back out in the draft last year, and all of them came back. You know, guys like Howard, just tremendous players that all of a sudden your team still has a lot of cred from your national championship. Then you bring in three true freshmen that start for you on offense, and two of them are going to be all conference, Jalen Hurts and this Jonah Williams, the offensive tackle, and then the running back would be even have better stats, but he's 13. So you got nine players on a team that you, at the end of last year after the championship game, we would have never thought would be playing for Alabama, plus those other guys they got. So tremendous job by Saban keeping them there and develop them. And I did hear, you know, Phil Savage talking about it, and I agree with him. The time now between this game this weekend and these playoff games when Alabama really improves. They do a great job of coaching these guys up. And I just think Alabama's going to be hard to catch right now. I just think they're going to be very hard to beat in the playoffs because they're going to improve dramatically between this game Saturday. And this game Saturday is going to be – I don't really know how to say this because that would be bad language on it. But, you know, when you had those mules and they had to pass gas, it's like beating that out of an old dead mule. You know, you just going to be hard to get them ready to play. But they'll be able to win the game, but I don't think it'll be a runaway.
And you may have
beautiful
been,
imagery,
and you could have been a veterinarian. You just needed more mule patients, I guess, Coach.
Right? You know, it's just like beating blanks out of a dead mule. That's what's going to be. I try to get Tennessee ready to go this week. It's going to be. I mean, excuse me, Alabama, but I think Alabama deserves a ton of credit, Nick Saban, because got five new coaches too. I mean, everybody talking about all these guys they lost off last year's team. They got drafted and everything. They got five. And I'm not on the Nick Saban show here trying to give him too much cred, but I do feel like for them to dominate, and they're talking about Southern Cal, how good they are. They beat them 52-10 or something. So regardless of who their quarterback was. So I think Alabama, it's like their team and everybody else is trying to catch them.
Coach, the other big storyline coming out of the weekend was Coach Orgeron getting the full-time gig at LSU. A lot of this talk was about how he showed up with a three-ring binder and was pitching who all he would bring on staff with him. Now it's almost 21 years to the day. It's 21 years this month when you got the Georgia job. Did you pitch who your assistants were going to be? And what was that interview process like? And how much does it sound like it's changed?
Well, it wasn't much of an interview because I interviewed the day before, and Dooley told me that he was going to hire somebody else, and then. I went to work out up there at the building, and then my wife said he'd call the house, and I said, well, he's not calling to wish me a happy Christmas. I know that. So he just said the guy was taking the job at going to stay there at Kansas, so I knew I had the job. So I wasn't any interview there. But, your staff's important, but I think the main thing for Orgeron was they challenged Herman, and he didn't take it, and they didn't have anybody wait. It reminds me a lot of what happened there at Nebraska. When they got rid of Tom Osborne's replacement there, Frank Solich, he won 9 games and they fired him. Took them 47 days to hire Callahan. They could never get anybody. Well, the same thing here with Orgeron. I think he's great and kids love him and all that, but you fire a guy that won the national championship and had a record like that, and you hire the defensive line coach, pay him $3.5 million. I just don't know about that.
You're listening to Jim Donnan, the Hall of Famer here on Press Row. One quick question before we go to our break. Last weekend, all across the country, were a lot of senior days. So you had the ceremonies before the game. Just kind of curious with your demands, because when you were at Georgia, you had a pretty good relationship with us as far as just like stepping aside and we'd shoot the bull about stuff. You'd do it with me, Mark Slaybaugh, Josh Kendall, Mark Bradley. When it came to those seniors, how well did you know them compared to how well you know some of us? Because you have to spend a lot of time with us as well as a lot of time with them, but I know you've got to spread things out with them among your assistants.
Well, I think that's a real critical issue that you wear a lot of different hats, but if you're going to be a successful coach, you better get to know what makes your players tick, just like a parent needs to know what how you're going to motivate your kids and discipline them and all that. So, as I've told you several times, one of my biggest mistakes the first year at Georgia, spending way too much time with alumni and people raising money and not enough with the team, getting to know them and realize what our players' capabilities were. But that's your number one job. You've got to motivate the motivators, assistant coaches, that's number two. But you got to get to know the players. Some of them need a lot more strict hand. Others need a little bit less rope. And the ability to bring these kids in from different environments and put them in a structured situation where they're pulling for the team. There's nothing better than a huddle. You get a kid from one area of the country that's been brought up one way and another kid that's been brought up another, and then you put them together and they get in the huddle together and everybody's the same. There's nothing like being on a team.
All right, when we come back, you can bet we're not going to spend the entire segment breaking down Bama and Florida. I've got some other, we've got some other questions for you. So
let's come on with it. I got so much knowledge here. We can stay on to 8:30 tonight.
All right, we'll be right back with Hall of Fame coach Jim Donnan in our weekly segment brought to you by Kia of Chattanooga. This is Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.